David and Bathsheba. Now, all the great men and women of faith we read about in the Bible, they were all weak in some way. And that's to encourage us. It doesn't mean that it's okay to be naughty or to sin, but it's to encourage us that even when we fail, God is really eager to forgive us. Well, it was a time when kings go out to battle, and David was a king, but David sent Joab, the general of his army, to go and fight with the children of Ammon and to besiege the city of Rabbah. But David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Well, it could be that David was getting a bit lazy. It was a time when kings go to fight, and he didn't. One evening he got up from his bed and took a walk on the roof of his palace. He saw a very beautiful woman in the yard next door. He sent to ask who she was and was told, "She's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, who was one of David's most faithful soldiers." David fell in love with Bathsheba, and he sent to Joab, who was the general of the army, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent Uriah to David, and when he came, the king asked how Joab and the army were and how the war was going. He gave Uriah food and told him to go home and sleep with his wife. But he didn't sleep with his wife. The next morning, David asked him why he hadn't gone and slept with his wife, and Uriah said, "The ark and the men of Israel and Judah are in tents out fighting. And shall I go home and sleep with my wife in comfort? I will not do such a thing." The next day, David sent him back to Joab with a letter that said, "Put Uriah in the front of the hottest battle and then run away from him so that he'll be killed." When Joab was besieging the city, he did just that. He told Uriah to go to a place and fight where he knew the strongest defenders were. And the men of Rabbah came out, and some of the soldiers were killed, and among them was Uriah. When Bathsheba learnt that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she wept for him. But when the days of mourning were past, David made her his wife, and she bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So, you can sin and think you've got away with it, but the thing David had done displeased the Lord. God notices our sins and he will judge us in due course, but he has a way of not judging us immediately. So, what David did was absolutely awful. Now, if he'd have been busy doing the Lord's work, he might not have been tempted in the way he was, and to take the wife of one of his loyal friends for himself was very, very selfish.
And because if we are saying father's love, there wouldn't really be father's love that would be nasty to them. Like Samson married Delilah, he was nasty. Because sometimes you have a feeling they are nice, but they're not really, they're not nasty.
So that's right, that just to say, "Oh, well, we've fallen in love, so it's all right," that doesn't mean that it's all right, and that's what we're going to learn here. So, the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, and the Lord sent Nathan to David, who was a prophet. So Nathan came and told David a story. He said, "There were two men in one city, one was rich and the other was poor. The rich man had many flocks of animals, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had bought and brought up, so that it grew up with him and his children. It ate from his hand, drank out of his cup, and he cuddled it in his arms, and it was really like a daughter to him. One day a traveller came to the rich man and needed a meal. The rich man spared to take one animal from his own flock and from his herds, but instead he took the poor man's one little lamb and killed it for the visitor." David was very angry when he heard this, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man that has done this thing must surely die, and he must refund the value of the lamb four times over, because he did this thing and had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are the man." The God of Israel has given you so much. So you see, David was like the rich man in the story. Why have you disregarded the commandment of God and have done great evil in his eyes? You killed Uriah with the sword by the hand of the children of Ammon, and you've taken his wife to be your wife. David said to Nathan, I have sinned before the Lord. So when we're confronted with sin, we often justify ourselves and say, ah, yeah, but you see this or you see that. But David's a good example. He says, yes, I have sinned before the Lord. Nathan said, the Lord has forgiven you your sin and you will not die. But this sin has given an excuse for the enemies of God to talk badly. So the child that has been born to you will surely die. And then Nathan went back to his own house. The child of Bathsheba and David fell sick, and David prayed to God. He didn't eat any food. He lay all night on the ground praying. He wouldn't eat or drink. But on the seventh day, the child died. So although Nathan had said that the child was going to die, David still hoped that he could change God's mind about this, but he couldn't. The servants of David were frightened to tell him that the child was dead, because they thought, well, the child was still alive, he wouldn't listen when we spoke to him, and now the child is dead, however can we tell him? But when David saw the servants whispering together, he knew and guessed that the child had died. So he asked them, has the child died? And they said, he is dead. David got up, changed his clothes, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house. His servants asked him, why is it that you fasted and wept for the child while it was alive and now it's dead? You get up and eat again. David explained, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept before God because I wondered whether, in fact, God would be gracious to me and allow the child to live. Now that he's dead, I cannot go on fasting. I can't bring him back again. So David comforted Bathsheba, and they had another child, whom they called Solomon, and the Lord loved him.